So can you remember the day you got saved? I mean, for some people it's a moment, for some people it's a day, for some people it might be a season, for some people it might be a few weeks where you heard the gospel, there was a seed planted in your heart, you know, it brewed in you, and then one day you said, I need to figure this out. And then at that day or at that moment or in that season, you turn to Jesus, you ask him to forgive your sins. You realize he's the Son of God, you have sinned, and he's the only one who can take your sins away and restore your relationship with God. Can you remember that day? Can you remember that time? Isn't it wonderful? So for me, the easiest is we can remember a moment we sat on the couch and we ask a couple of our friends and say, we know we're not right with God, what must we do? They explained the gospel. 2 weeks later, we got baptized, and normally when I think about when I got saved, I think about the baptism. I think about that day where I got baptized. Because that was the first day that I publicly, before a whole group of people, declared Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. You know, that's something that happened in my heart. But that was the first day that I actually spoke out and acknowledged God in front of others. So that for me was that day. It is important that we remember that time, because at that time, that is when we entered into the kingdom of God. So I want to read us a scripture, Ephesians 2, 12 to 13, and it says, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So when we did that, when we made right with God through Jesus, we were brought near. We were far away, but we were brought near. Philippians 3:20 says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So yet now, after that day, you enter the kingdom of heaven, and you are now a representative of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the kingdom of heaven, there are, I think, 108 references that Jesus made to the kingdom of heaven. And we are part of that kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven are established all over the world, and it's established through your life, through my life, because God is in us and we are in him. So I thought it'd be good for us to be reminded about this kingdom living as we start 2019. And we think about a kingdom, we all know when a kingdom, an earthly kingdom is a place where king rule and reign, everyone follows his rule. He's probably got an army or soldiers that enforce all those rules and laws. But the kingdom of God is very different. God doesn't force us. And I wish actually sometimes he did. I think it would be easier if he made little robots. But God doesn't force us to stay in this kingdom of God. He gave us a free will. We can do whatever we want. But if you look from God's perspective, I can see Jesus looking at us and say, man, these guys, the door is open and they entered into the kingdom of heaven. They are citizens. They are new citizens, and there are so much for them to do, so much that I want to accomplish and do through them. And I think Jesus is there every day and think, oh, I've got that for Vessel, and I've got that for Charlene, and I've got that for Sheila and Jeremy. And so it goes throughout the church that God's got specific things for us to do in his kingdom. So in an earthly kingdom, you've got a king, but in our heavenly kingdom, we've got Jesus who wants to rule and reign in our lives. We've got Jesus who wants to be Lord and Savior. That's wonderful. But he also wants to be king. He also wants to rule and reign. And the way he's doing that is not forcefully. He's not forcing us to do certain things. That's up to us to be obedient or not. So the first thing I want to remind you is this, is make sure that God is the only thing on the throne of your life. I mean, it is so easy to push God off. It is so easy just to forget Him, to ignore Him. And the way we make sure that God is on the throne of our lives is by surrendering, by fully surrendering to Him. And the way we do that is every morning when we wake up, we don't just read our Bible, but please take a moment, put your Bible aside and invite God, the God of heaven, into your heart, into your thoughts, into every area of your life. And it's wonderful when we sit in the mornings and we can invite God into 20% or 40% or 60%. And we keep a little bit of disobedience, we keep a little bit of sin, you know, just around the corner that God doesn't see clearly. And we surrender not fully to Him. But when we do that, we actually shoot ourselves in the foot. So please make sure every morning, every day, just tell God, God, I want to surrender to You completely. Every area of my life, in my speech, in my thoughts, in my actions, everywhere. He wants full access. He doesn't want a 50% access or a 60% access. So I'm going to read a scripture, John 14:6-21, that talks about this. And it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really know Me, you will know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him, and you have seen Him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know Me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on My own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in Me who is doing His work. Believe Me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in My Father, and that you are in Me, and I in you. Whoever has My commands and keep them is the one who loves Me. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. But verse 20 is the one I want to highlight. It says, on that day you will realize that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. The kingdom of God reigns wherever you are, because God lives in you. It is very important to know this. When you turn to Jesus, you enter the kingdom of God, and you've now got this new kingdom lifestyle. And it is so important to know this, because if we don't get this right, we become an easy target for the devil, and he can take us out very easily. You know, we can easily remove God from this throne. And the way we do it is, I don't think we ever wake up and say, God, I don't want You to be Lord of my life. We don't do that. But we do it in subtle ways. We forget about God. We forget about the life He's got in us. And by the way we talk to one another, by the way we treat family members, by the way we speak to others, the way we're angry sometimes, or the way we lose it sometimes, you know, all those things push God off the throne. Worries. If we worry, we push God off the throne. Laziness is pushing God off the throne. If we're lazy, that just is what it is. We allow other things to become more important, but God wants to be the ultimate king in our lives. Those things can quickly remove God from his throne. And it is so vital to do this every morning of every day. When you wake up, is to make God, invite him. Say, God, I want to tell you, I want to declare that you are my God, that you are my Savior. And I give you all my thoughts. I will give you all my speech, the way I talk to people, the way I react, the way I treat others, the way I follow you. I want to surrender everything to you. Why? Why? Because our enemy, the devil, walks around and is looking for people to devour. I mean, he doesn't stop. He doesn't go on holiday. He wants to devour Christians. Please remember that as a Christian, you're always a target. The devil wants to kill you. That's it. The devil wants to remove you from the kingdom of God. He wants to make you doubt God. The devil wants you to forget about God. And whenever you get there, the devil will remind you that you're not good enough. That you've forsaken God, you forgot about God, and you are not good enough. You cannot be restored. That's what the devil wants you to do. But that is not true. Because we are not restored by our own effort. We are not restored by reading our Bible. We are not restored by coming to church. We are not restored by being generous. We are restored by Jesus Christ. And that's it. And I want to read us Ephesians 2, 1 to 13 quickly. And it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And this is the verse that I want to highlight. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus is the only one who can save us. We cannot be saved by going to church. We cannot be saved by doing good works, by trying to be good people. It's only Jesus. When you die, and it's all black around you, you're alone, no friends, no family, there's one person who can open the door. There's one person who's going to grab your hand, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the only one. Jesus is the only one who's going to open the door for us. That's why whenever I think about that, it's amazing. It is absolutely special. And we've got the opportunity to grow our relationship with Jesus right now. Because one day when we're dead, we're not in control. We've got one person to rely on, Jesus, and that's it. And when we enter the kingdom, we are born again and we belong to Jesus. He is our Savior. And please, the devil always would want to try and get you out of this kingdom living. Always wanted to discourage you, say you're not good enough, you cannot make it. But this kingdom lifestyle, at the same time we go through this, the only way to really be successful in this kingdom life that we're living is by to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot live this lifestyle out of our own effort, our own energy, our own strength. We'll never make it. It's absolutely impossible. So we got saved. We entered into the kingdom. We became citizens of heaven. And at that time, God put some of his Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of God lives in you and lives in me. And that is a wonderful thing because that gives us power. It gives us strength. The Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us. He guides us. He leads us. And he makes us. He gives us the ability to live this kingdom lifestyle. So if we want to live this kingdom lifestyle without the Holy Spirit, we're going to fall flat on our faces. It's not going to work because your Christian life will be very hard, it will be dry, and it will be very tough. So there are four ways we can respond to the Holy Spirit in this. So first of all, we can either resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51 says this, and this is Jesus talking to the religious leaders at that time. He said, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." And, you know, it's wonderful to talk about the religious leaders of that time, where Jesus said, "You stiff-necked people, you resist the Holy Spirit." But it's very easy to do that. You know, it's easy to talk about someone else resisting the Holy Spirit. But what about your life? What about me? Have you resisted the Holy Spirit? How often do you resist the Holy Spirit? And resisting the Holy Spirit is refusing to be obedient, to refusing to follow His lead. And it's even when you're doing something and you don't feel the pleasure of God and you're still continuing in that direction. That's resisting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and He wants to guide and change. And you said, "No, thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't need you now." Let us not be a people who resist God, who resist the Holy Spirit. But when we're angry or tempted or whatever, we carry on in our own way. Let us not be a people who do that. Let us be a people who not resist the Holy Spirit. But let's be a people who bow our knee and surrender and welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives. The second thing we can do is we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So that's very obvious. If we do those things, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice, you know, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we're nasty to one another, when we put one another down, when we criticize, when we find fault, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Be kind to one another. Instead of grieving, be kind, be compassionate, be tender-hearted, love one another. And you know what? To love one another is not something that you can do out of your own. It's not something that you can do out of willpower. We can only love one another like God loves us if God gives us the ability to love people. So if you find it hard to live that, slander, brawling, malice, rage, anger, bitterness, I mean, unforgiveness, if you find that hard, turn to God. That's the only way you were able to defeat that. The third way we can respond to the Holy Spirit is we can quench the Spirit. And if we willfully disobey Him, if we know what we're planning, what we want to do is not what God wants us to do, and we continue on that road, we quench the Holy Spirit. And number four, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the one what we need to do. And there are so much talk about filling of the Holy Spirit and when it happens and how it happens. And I think every time we meet together, there's a bit of a deposit. There's a bit of a deposit. I mean, you've probably experienced when you go to a home group, on the way there, you think, "Oh, I don't want to go. I'm so exhausted. I'm tired. I don't want to go to a home group. I don't feel like it. I don't want to see anyone else. I want to go to bed or something." And when you get there, and you meet with other Christians, all of a sudden it just feels different. And you start to pray and talk and share. And God comes and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes in us and in our presence. And as we meet together in home groups, we are constantly fed by the Holy Spirit. As we open our hearts to Him, you know, He feeds us, He feeds us. And when you leave, oh, you're wide awake, you feel better, hug and kisses everywhere. And off you go to home. And sometimes when you get home, you can't get to bed because you're still awake. So we are fed by the Holy Spirit constantly. When we meet here at church, And I can probably imagine everyone think, oh, I'd rather want to have a barbecue. You know, I want to go to the beach. I don't want to come to church. I'm still tired or whatever. But when we meet together, when we sing songs like we did this morning, and it elevates Jesus to where he's supposed to be, we just forget about that. And God comes and he fills us and he strengthens us and he makes things clear. Because without God, things are cloudy. We cannot see. I mean, Viv brought a scripture in the prayer meeting this morning. It says, his word is a lamp to our feet. And it's exactly that. When we get close to God, we can see and things become clearer. But when we don't, it's muddy, it's hazy, we get worried, we can't see. But when we meet together, there's a constant feeding of the Holy Spirit. Other times is when you read your Bible, when you're alone, when you worship together. All those times are times that the Holy Spirit feeds into you. But there can also be times when the Holy Spirit comes on you, gives you a revelation, highlights certain things to you. That's a once-off, that's for a special occasion or a purpose. So Ephesians 5:18 says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Have a longing for Jesus. Have a longing for Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. Without it, it's impossible to live this Christian life. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit will form a Christ-like character in you. And you know, character is something that God is always working on. That's why I don't think you get a Christian anywhere in the world that says, yep, I'm there. I'm like Jesus. You know, perfect. Got nothing else more to learn or to change. That's it. I think we constantly have to change. God is constantly working on our character, changing us and molding and shaping us. So Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And, you know, when you listen to the fruit of the Spirit, let me just have a sip of water. You can have a sip of something if you have So Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I think the way the devil gets us in this is we look at those things and we measure ourselves. We think, oh my goodness, gentleness? Not always. Kindness? Oof, I'm sometimes grumpy and not good. Faithfulness, peace, joy, love, I'm not doing it well. And we can fall in the trap of trying to live those things out of our own strength. I want to be kind. Help me to be kind. We're doing it out of our own strength. It's just not going to work. Fruit of the Spirit is His fruit. You can't make fruit. Fruit grows. It appears. The Holy Spirit causes it. You cannot produce it by yourself. So the fruit of the Spirit will appear as you tap into God, as you surrender to God and say, God, you've got my everything, my thoughts, my desires, my everything. As you surrender to God, the fruit of the Spirit will appear in your life. And you'll become more and more like Jesus. And these things like love, joy, peace, all the rest will appear in your life. We cannot make those things out of our own. And if we don't have that, it's going to be very hard. Christian life is going to be tough. We need to work on those things. We need to allow God to form those things in our life. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is God gives us gifts. And it says in the Bible, God, 1 Corinthians, God gives everyone a gift. So the lovely thing is you get saved, you enter the kingdom of heaven, you're a citizen of heaven. We've got a responsibility to be representatives of Jesus. And that's wonderful. God gives us His Holy Spirit. He empowers us to live this kingdom life. As we walk, we establish the kingdom of God through our actions, through our speech, the way we think, the way we act, the way we treat people. But that's not all. He says He also gives us gifts. And those gifts that He gives us, He gives to each and every one a gift. And those gifts are to minister. So the idea is not that we get together and one person ministers. But when we meet together, God wants us to all to minister. That's why it's so important when we meet on a Sunday like this or home group or in homes and even afterwards, it's not just about coffee and it's not just about eating snacks. We've got the opportunity to minister to one another. And you might say, I'm not a minister. I've got nothing to give. At that time, you are actually lying and you don't know what you are saying. Because you are actually saying God is a liar. Because He says, when you got saved, everyone, He gave everyone gifts. We all got something to contribute. We all got something to minister and share. And when we meet together, the thing we have to do is build up one another, encourage one another. It is, if I just walk to the coffee and I think I'm going to have coffee and I just want to do my own thing. But the best way to do it is to, God, what do you want to do today? When you have a coffee, when you stand and chatting to someone, either in church or home group or wherever you meet, is just take a moment and say, God, what is it that you've got for this person? How can I encourage this person? How do you want to encourage or strengthen this person? And the best way of doing it is just to do it. Please don't believe the lie that you don't have anything to give, that you've got no spiritual gifts. You have, and God saved us so that we can function in this role. So this filling happens gradually, or it can happen as a once-off. But to have that is you have to approach God. Approach God humbly and say, God, I need you. Just say to God, God, I cannot do it myself. I need you so much. Will you come and fill me? Will you come and empower me? Will you come and strengthen me? And not just when you're feeling down or when you're feeling well, but also when you're feeling down and we're feeling when temptation is kneeling at the door, when you're feeling weak, in that moment, don't give in. But get on your knees and say, God, I need your filling of the Holy Spirit right now. And just trust and wait for God to clothe you and fill you. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be empowered to live this kingdom life that God has planned for us, to build one another up, to encourage one another. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. And I wanted to remind you about these things. You were saved. It is absolutely special. The salvation, the power of Jesus is still working in your life today. Whenever you want to turn away from God or do something wrong, it's the power of Jesus, it's the power of salvation that's drawing you back, welcoming you back, restoring you, always ready to restore. I wanted to remind you that you belong in a kingdom, that you're not living on your own kingdom by yourself, but you were born into a new kingdom with responsibilities. And that God placed you there for a reason. And God saved you and He gave you gifts to use. And that He wants to be Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to be King and ruler over your life. And the best way to do that is every morning, every day, is to tell Him that, invite Him in. Otherwise, busyness of life, laziness, work, worrying, everything, just push Jesus out of the way quickly. It happens just like that. Before we know it, it's gone. If we do that, we'll be successful. If we don't do it, we're an easy target for the devil, and the enemy will take us out. Don't believe the lie that the enemy wants to tell you every time that you're not good enough, you cannot make it. So I want to pray for us this morning that as we go into 2019, is that we remember those things, that we don't take Jesus for granted, that we don't take His saving power for granted, but that we'll rejoice in that, that we'll think about it often, that He saved us. We belong in His kingdom. And he loves us. He loves that. And he made us for a purpose. He made us so we can establish and grow his kingdom as he works in us.